Hello students, this lesson is on air and water. All around the earth, there is a layer of air called the atmosphere. It contains many gases which are close to the surface of the earth. The atmosphere is made up of a number of layers. Above this, there is space and there is no air in space. The sun's heat passes through the air and warms the ground. Not all of it reaches the ground. Some is reflected back and some is absorbed before it reaches the ground. The atmosphere is held around the earth by gravity. Let us now find out what the air is composed of. We all know that air is necessary for life. Air is a mixture of many gases. It contains about 21% oxygen, 78% nitrogen and 1% other gases like carbon dioxide, argon, hydrogen, ozone, water vapors, helium, neon, and so on. The percentage of dust, smoke, and water vapors may vary according to the environment. Oxygen is the most important gas. All living things require oxygen to live. It is also important because it helps in combustion. Nitrogen is also used by all living things, but they do not take it directly from the air. Instead, plants take in nitrogen from the soil. Animals take in nitrogen from plants, meat and fish. Carbon dioxide is used by plants to make their own food by photosynthesis. Plants also use water, mineral salts and sunlight in this process. I will now discuss the properties of air. Air is used for burning. We can find this out by conducting a simple experiment. Fix two candles on a table and light them. Cover the second candle with a glass jar. Observe and record how many seconds it takes for each candle to go out. The candle which is uncovered continues to burn while the other one blows off. The flame needs oxygen to burn. The second property of air is, a part of air is used for burning. Take a shallow tray and fix a candle in it. Fill water in the tray. Then light the candle. Take a glass, mark it into 5 equal parts. Invert the glass over the lighted candle. Observe what happens to the candle. What happens to the water in the tray? Why does water rise in the glass? Rising of the water level to mark 1 in the glass shows that 1/5 of the air in the glass is used up during burning. The third property of air. Air is used to inflate things. Air is used to inflate rubber tires, balloons, and other objects as it can be squeezed into smaller spaces. We say it can be compressed. Compressed air exerts a greater pressure. Tires filled with extra air can support bicycles, cars, and even aircrafts. The air pressure in the tire makes it like a cushion, and we do not feel the bumps on the road. In the same way, air pressure in the basketballs and footballs keeps the balls hard and makes them tight so that they can bounce. The fourth property of air. Air has weight. Inflate two balloons of the same size. Tie the balloons to the ends of a stick. Tie a string to the middle of the stick and make sure the balloons are balanced. The weight on either end of the stick should be equal. Now take a sharp needle and prick one of the balloons near its neck. The air escapes through the pinhole slowly. You will see that the other balloon slowly brings the scale down at its end. This shows that the balloon with air in it is heavier. The fifth property of air. Air exerts pressure. Air exerts pressure on everything and in all directions. If you squeeze an empty plastic bottle and then release it, the bottle will regain its shape. This is because air enters the bottle and pushes the sides out again. If you squeeze the bottle and then place the cap on, the bottle will not take up its original shape. This is because the air outside the bottle is pressing the sides in. Air presses on our body too. Our body does not get crushed by the pressure of the air because our body too contains air. Let us now find out the uses of air pressure in our daily life. The first example, while sipping juice from a glass with a straw, we keep one end of the straw in the juice glass and suck air through the other end. Due to this action, some air is removed from the straw and air pressure inside it gets reduced. Now the air pressure exerted on the surface of the juice forces it into the straw and the juice rises into the mouth. Example 2. The open end of a medicine dropper is dipped into the medicine solution and the rubber bulb is pressed gently. The air from the rubber bulb is forced out and the air pressure inside is reduced. The outside air pressure acting on the surface of the medicine forces it inside the tube. Example 3. The pressure of air also helps to fill ink in the fountain pen in the same way. The pump drives the air out and this makes the air pressure to push the ink into the pen. Example 4. A syringe used by the doctors for injection also works on the same principle. When the plunger of a syringe is pushed down, the air inside is forced out. As the plunger is pulled, the air pressure forces the liquid or medicine to go up into the empty space in the syringe through the needle. We measure the air pressure with an instrument called barometer. Balance between oxygen and carbon dioxide. We have seen that oxygen in the air is continuously being used up in the process of burning and breathing. Burning and breathing both give out carbon dioxide. The green leaves of the plants take in carbon dioxide during the process of photosynthesis to make their food and release oxygen gas. In this way, the balance between the oxygen and carbon dioxide has been maintained. We now move on to air pollution. Fresh and pure air is very important in order to keep us healthy. Air gets polluted in many different ways. By the smoke produced by burning coal or wood, or by the gases released by automobiles and the factories. Water. Water is known as the universal solvent because water dissolves many substances to form solutions. You have already learned that a solution has a liquid in which a solid substance is dissolved. The liquid is called a solvent and the dissolved substance is called a solute. Water is a good solvent and for this we will conduct a simple experiment. Half fill a glass with water and add 2 teaspoons of sugar to it. Stir well till all the sugar is dissolved in it. Taste a little of this water. How does it taste? Pour this through a piece of clean cloth into another glass. This is called filtering and the cloth acts as the filter. Is there anything left on the cloth? Taste the filtered water. Is it sweet? There are 2 kinds of impurities. A. Soluble impurities and B. Insoluble impurities. We can remove soluble impurities from water by 2 methods. The first method is evaporation. Boil the sugar solution in an evaporating dish till all the water evaporates. You will find that the sugar is left behind in the evaporating dish. This is the original sugar separated from the solution. So, the dissolved substances can be separated from water by the process of evaporation. The second method of removing soluble impurities from water is called distillation. It is the method of separating 2 miscible liquids from their mixture. Different liquids have different melting and boiling points. By this method, we can separate water, oil, petrol, and diesel. Just as you can remove soluble impurities from water, you can also remove insoluble impurities from water. The first method is decantation. Allow the soil particles in a sample of water to settle down at the bottom as sediments. This is called sedimentation. The clear water can be seen at the top. The sediments can be removed from water by gradually pouring the clear water into another container without disturbing the sediments. The second method is filtration. Separation of insoluble impurities with the help of a filter paper is called filtration. The insoluble substances are caught in the filter paper and drops of clear water trickle into the beaker kept under the funnel to collect as a filtrate. Solid particles are left on the filter paper. We now move to the last portion of this lesson, drinking water. Water which is fit for drinking purposes is called potable water. Water contains many disease-causing germs like bacteria, protozoa, and viruses. These produce serious diseases in human beings and other animals. Water contains soluble and insoluble impurities and germs, so water must be purified and made suitable for drinking. You can purify water by three ways. The first method is called chlorination. Water can be disinfected with a very small quantity of chlorine gas that kills bacteria. The second method, water from the wells can be purified by adding a few crystals of potassium permanganate which kill the disease-causing germs. The third method, water can be used for drinking purposes by boiling. Boiling water for 20 minutes is enough to kill germs.